This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.theparish.org. The following sermon was preached on Sunday, February 4th, 2018, Sexagesima Sunday, by Father William Doc Holliday.
The life of man upon earth is a warfare. May the words of my mouth and meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Sometimes when you preach a homily, it is necessary to tease out and explain what is said in the scriptures for one reason or another. But in this particular case, you just let the scriptures speak what they speak. Job says, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit in scripture for our learning, is that the life of man upon earth is a warfare. And notice the Holy Spirit does not say that the life of man upon earth is like a warfare, as if he's giving some kind of an illustration. It's not an illustration. It is not an analogy. Spiritual warfare is absolutely, objectively real. It is, as a matter of fact, more consequential than warfare in this world. The worst thing that can happen to you in a war in this world is that you are killed. And if you are in good faith and standing with our Lord Jesus Christ, you will go to heaven and live for all eternity in bliss. If we lose this spiritual war, you will go to hell for all eternity. That is a place that is of horrible suffering that is eternal. And there are many people there. It is real. You are in the middle of a war. Whereas in human wars, we rely on soldiers to fight for us. Even in our society, we rely on police officers to keep criminals and violence away from us so we don't have to deal with it. Spiritual warfare, each and every one of us as individuals is going to have to deal with it. Whether you like it or not, whether you want to discount it or not, whether you want to ignore it or not, it is real. I'm a big history buff. As I was doing this, I was thinking, and historically, the complacency of many in the church now, sort of this out of sight, out of mind thing, kind of reminds me of United States citizens during World War II. During World War II, if you weren't in the military, if you didn't have a person in your family in the military, you got up every morning, you went to school, you went to work, you did whatever you were going to do. The only privations you really saw every now was you couldn't get as much gas as you wanted or buy as much meat as you necessarily could when there wasn't a war going on. Little things like that, but really no big deal. If you lived in France, or if you lived in Germany, or Japan, or Russia, it wasn't like that. You try to walk to school in the morning, there was a real good chance that somebody in a plane might shoot at you. Or that while you were sleeping at night, your house might get hit with a bomb. There was nobody that wasn't touched by death and horrible injury. It was up in their face. They knew it was real, and they wanted it to be over. We in the church now are like the U.S. citizens. We are complacent. We got a pretty good life. We go to Mass on Sunday. We're good. We hear how nice Jesus is and how merciful he is and all that good stuff. But guess what? The underlying conflict and the necessity of all that mercy and all his goodness is as a result of that spiritual war, the war that he fought. But we had Jesus. He fought for us, and now he won, so we're good. No, he was an example of the good fight. And now it's up to you to do it, because each and every one of us as an individual have to engage in that fight on a personal level. Because your enemy, Satan, and yeah, just like hell, he's real also. He is a person. He is a created being. He is surrounded by his own armies that are people, created beings, fallen angels, who are much stronger than you, much smarter than you, who their goal in existence is to make you deal with what they know they are going to deal with, eternity separated from God. They know they are going to hell, and they want to drag you down with them. In this pre-Lenten season and during Lent, the emphasis on making some things real in your faith, that is the end-all be-all. It is the end-all be-all. And in our preparation for Lent, and this is not the how-to's homily. You're going to get that throughout Lent. You're going to get that, the how-to's. But the how-to's are meaningless unless you know the reality of the conflict. Lent isn't the conflict. Lent is the boot camp, the training that we undergo to engage in this warfare. Back in the old days, my prior life, military and in police work, one of the things that we tried to do with new folks was to present to them the reality of how bad things can be. You try to present them with the worst case scenario and then put them in situations and try to make them as uncomfortable as possible, trying to deal with it without really hurting them. Although we try to make it so real sometimes that several people got hurt. You try to make it that real, because when it does get real, you don't want people approaching the situation lackadaisically. Even as a trainer, we used to tell this one scenario over and over again. Well, if you go up to a house and this happens, you know, and even in the back of my mind as a trainer, well, like if that would ever happen. And then all of a sudden, one day, years later, I'm up in front of a house, and what I used to say actually happened. I was like, oh my gosh, this could really happen. But because I had thought about it for so long and put other people in the scenario, so am I going to sit in here and say it was easy? No, but I dealt with it because I was somewhat prepared for what was happening. That's what we do in Lent. We try to do through our own little mortifications. Not doing this, doing this, but as I emphasized last week, doing or not doing things that make us a bit uncomfortable. I'm always harping and bashing the dietary part of Lent because 99% of people don't do it correctly. It's not depriving yourself of something that tastes good. Your Lenten dietary discipline should be that you sit around during the day and your stomach growls loud so other people can hear it, where it doesn't feel it. I got a pain in my stomach. I need to eat something. That makes it real. And when you get those little pains or you hear the stomach growling, what you do is you go, this feels bad. I'm supposed to shoot up my prayer for whatever the focus of my Lent may be. It makes it a reality. It makes it a reality, and it makes us understand that what our Lord endured for us was real. I was saying in the adult forum today before Mass, how often do you hear people, they'll see a crucifix in a church or on a picture? That's a beautiful crucifix. That's a beautiful crucifix. What is a crucifix? It was a piece of wood upon which a man had spikes run through his hands and feet, and he hung on it. If you went outside right now and saw a cat tacked to a telephone pole, you'd freak out. What are we going to do? You call the cops and, a cat happened to a human being. That's what our Lord Jesus Christ endured for you. When we do our rosaries, the sorrowful mysteries, the scourging of our Lord Jesus Christ. To have two guys standing behind you slinging pieces of leather with metal pieces and bone and broken glass as hard as they could swing them. Oh, you lighten up on him a little bit. He knows his rights. Tearing his back off. Didn't even look like a back anymore. A lot of people who endured it died during it. That's the scourging. It's not a sorrowful mystery. It's something real that happened to a human being who just happened to be God. It's real. That's why you should make your Lent real, because your warfare is real. You can deny it as much as you want. You can desert Christ's army because that's what you're part of. The baptismal rite, the confirmation rite. In our baptismal rite, you hear that they may be a soldier in Christ's army until their life's end. When you're confirmed, or if you're confirmed around here anyway, a slap on the cheek, which is indicative of, yeah, this is a little churchy rite, but be prepared because there's a reality of the struggle. The vast majority of Catholics don't struggle with anything now. They struggle with, oh, do we have to sit through more than 30 minutes of Mass? That's the struggle for them. How fast can I get out of the parking lot so I don't get jammed up in traffic? That's their spiritual struggle. Your spiritual struggle is every single day. Every single day. And you got to make it real. Lent is just one part of the liturgical year when it gets very focused. We should be doing this kind of stuff every single day. We got to prepare ourselves. We got to understand it's real. And if you don't think it's real, you are just the enemy's belly laughing at you. Every time you sin, I'll just go to confession. Every time you sin, you give the enemy some of your ammunition and you give him some of your food. Every single time you sin. Every time you sin, you let him in your midst. So if you are a father or a mother and you sin, you're giving aid and comfort to the enemy. You're letting him sit next to you and then he's there with your kids. That's the pervasive nature of this struggle in which we find ourselves. And just like wars, if a foreign country invaded this place right now, I don't want to deal with that war stuff. It doesn't matter if you want to deal with it or not. Your house is going to get burned down. Your friends are going to die. And if you don't fight, you're going to get taken captive. Whether you want it or not. Somebody breaks in your house and going to hurt one of your family members or take your stuff, you need to defend yourself or you're going to lose. You don't want to lose our enemy, as much as you may deny his presence. During this struggle, this can sound like a huge downer, but there can be victory. There can be victory, this endurance of our labors and our fighting in this world. There is a reward. Job, who is presenting this idea to us that our life is a warfare, the Holy Spirit does not pop up like a little cartoon character on a writer's shoulder and dictate what he's supposed to write in Scripture and just, you know, here, the people need this, write this down. Scripture comes to us through people's experience. Job's experience, like losing every one of his children, losing everything that he owns, and then being brought to the point of death as far as his health goes, this is the man who's, through his experience and the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, telling us that life of man on earth is a warfare. That, hey, get real, folks. You know, it's bad for me. It's going to get bad for you someday. You might not be dealing with stuff that Job dealt with, but everybody in this world gets sick. They lose people. You got to deal with it. And if you're not ready to fight when those things come up, you're going to lose. Job wanted his reward, and he says a prayer after his lamentations. And that prayer ends up, he says, why dost thou not remove my sin? And why dost thou not now take away my iniquity? Job legitimately said that because he didn't know Jesus Christ. He didn't know who the Messiah was going to be. He didn't know how God was going to remove his sin or take away of his iniquity. We do. We do, and he was our exemplar soldier. He's the one after whom we must pattern ourselves. That gospel today, Jesus Christ confronting the evils of this world, sickness and demons. I'm not emphasizing this demon thing because I wish to. I'm emphasizing it because, like, if you read the gospel today, it talks about sickness. Oh, you know, when they talk about demons, it's talking about sick people. Hello, it says those who were sick and those who were possessed by demons. And there's one mention in there of our Lord curing a sick person, but three different mentions of him casting out demons. If Jesus Christ was anything in this world, while he walked the face of this planet, he was an exorcist. That's how real demons are. But you don't want to talk about that silliness, that mythological stuff now. There are priests and bishops who say that. Oh, that was just medieval talk. Satan and the demons want nothing more than for you to think they don't exist, because then you won't resist them. You won't resist them. You won't try to vanquish. You won't protect yourself from them. That's what they want, nothing more. They're laughing uproariously at these claims that they don't exist. That is your enemy. Jesus Christ proved that they can be vanquished. He gave us the authority to vanquish them. He gave us every weapon and all the ammunition that we need through his word, the field manual, so to speak, the weapons in the sacraments, the ammunition in the sacramentals, holy water, holy salt, holy oil, rosaries, images, all those things. You don't need those things. Ridiculous. But you hear that all the time. We don't need this. You just might go to and hear a good homily or sermon about Jesus. I don't have to deal with that. Yes, you do. And you will. Each and every one of us. Jesus Christ was the answer to Job's prayer. And then St. Paul gives us marching orders, because after Jesus, as I said, Jesus was our exemplar soldier. He didn't win the battle for you. You need to emulate him, and you need to fight your good fight. You need to finish the course, and you need to be judged. He was judged as righteous. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. We have to do the same thing. It is expected of you to pattern yourself after our Lord. St. Paul did, and he said, I do all for the gospel's sake, that I may be made partaker thereof. You're not a partaker of the gospel if you don't fight. You just ignore the enemy. You're not a member of the church. You're not a part of Christ's army. You're a deserter. You're a slacker. And you're a danger to other people because you're not pulling your weight. That's what happens when you don't fight. I am not a saint, but St. Jose Maria is. And he, commenting on this passage from Job, he gives us an indication that we should take into our Lenten disciplines, in particularly this idea, this analogy of fighting, because it's not an analogy for us, it's real. He says, the supernatural way of conducting yourself is real military strategy. You carry on the war, daily battles of your interior life, in positions far from the main walls of your fortress. He means heaven by that. And the enemy comes to meet you there. In your small mortification, in your daily prayer, in your orderly work, and in your plan of life. And only with difficulty does he get close to the otherwise easily scaled battlements of your citadel. And if he does, he arrives exhausted. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.